This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard the Phillies Accountability Plan. So are you willing to take it? We keep the Phillies accountable.
Accountability.
None of this will wake me up in October nonsense. And they got to play well.
Before you go, go.
Yeah, well, I like that song. It's a good song.
Hanging on like a yo-yo.
You really listen. You lean into Songbird, Hugh.
Oh, no, because we about to be on TV come Thursday.
YouTube?
Yeah, we about to blow up, Joe. I'm telling you, we about to be doing these Tubi movies, man. We about to take this thing to a whole nother
level. I like how the we is involved in the Tubi movies.
We're
what role am I going to do in a Tubi movie?
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
I don't know about that, but we'll see what happens with Hugh's acting career. Are you willing to take the pledge? I know the Phillies, they locked to make the playoffs. Our Twitter poll, so early in the show, it was leaning decidedly towards not a lock. How about this? Do you think the Phillies are a lock to make the postseason? Yes or no? 56%. This has stayed steady at about 56%. People saying no. Our Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIdentalCenter.com. Hugh, 56%. You haven't moved
the
audience.
Not your best work.
No.
Not your best work today.
You have not moved the audience. This team is a stone cold lock.
I do not have a compelling argument. I'm still waiting to rally. We still got two more hours left in this thing. I got time. I believe in the people. I believe in.
Who do you believe in more, the people or the Phillies?
The people.
Oh.
Well, no, I believe in the Phillies. I believe that. No, let me tell you. This is what's going
you
on.
You believe
right
in
now.
Twitter voters more than the Phillies? That
no,
says a lot.
That's no, a this is, bad
this
comment.
Is damning.
Yeah.
See, I got confused when I heard it. I got confused.
Okay.
I got confused. But no, seriously. I know where people are coming from. As I told you, we are in a sports hole right now. And right now, everybody has their arms crossed until that first game. It's going to change after the first
so
game.
So I agree with your premise on that. But sometimes that leads to people being over-optimistic, right? Like it's been a while. We haven't had a game to react to that everyone cared about since the Super Bowl, right? The Sixers were down. The Flyers were down. It's just those kind of seasons for those teams. So I would think a lot of people would be revved up. Like, here we go. Now we're going to win one with the Phillies. And I sense a lot of people. I think people have doubt on this Phillies team.
No, you know what it is? I think a lot of people here. And this is bad. What the Sixers have said over the last few years, and I think that a lot of fans listen to the fact, oh, we're going to the playoffs, but this year, like the reality has set in that we're on a downward spiral, and they're kind of looking at the Phillies with those. And if you squint really, really hard enough, you can see them. They look probably a little bit like the Sixers, but I don't think that's the case. I really, really don't. I think that the reason why these guys are being silent is because they're locking in and they're being focused.
So I like that, and I think they'll be focused. I need them to play well, though. I just view the NL as a really strong league, and last year a team missed the playoffs at 89 wins. And if the Phillies are more like a 90-win team than 95, this is going to be more of a dogfight. 215-592-949 for the Phillies a lock. Are you taking the accountability pledge with me and with Kyle and Hugh, even though you know, it took you a little bit to take the pledge?
I just wanted you to say it.
I stuck my eye on Hugh with the pledge.
I just wanted you to say it with more passion, man. And I mean, you're giving a pass. You sat there. All I'm saying is this. You wrote that out last night at some point.
This morning.
You put, okay, well, you put some thought into it.
I did.
You got to sell it.
I feel like you're not taking the pledge seriously.
No,
I
you're
am.
Not. No, it's to
what?
Us, this is life and death.
Mm-hmm. I am taking the pledge. Well, ain't life and death, but I'm taking it serious. I mean,
my eye's on you next week.
I will move the line a little bit.
If they start off a little slow, our eyes on you to see how accountable you're keeping the Phillies.
Listen, I looked at the schedule right. You got the Nationals.
Then the Rockies.
Then the Rockies. Come on, dog.
But after that's the Dodgers.
What if they start off and they've lost both series against the Nationals and the Rockies?
Well, I'm in the alarms,
man,
then.
Boy. Dude. Okay, this is what we like to do on this.
You know, it'll be it's early Douglas next week.
Four and two.
They should go 4-2 in these first six games. Absolutely.
That should be the bar.
Yeah, 3-3 is a disappointment. Mm.
3-3 is
2-4 alarms. Yeah. Yeah. I think we should expect 4-2 the first six games of the season. If not, we're going to be really annoyed. All right. Also, your guesses for Hugh's clues. Pair of clues out there as we're trying to guess something that Hugh ate a lot as a youth, and then also something that you could have accoutrements in. You could mix this
accoutrement
that you could put in there with it. Let's go to the phone lines here. Bob is up on WIP. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Bob. What's going on?
I will not take the pledge. Baseball is baseball. You're going to have your ups and downs throughout the year. Guys get hot. Guys get cold. Other guys pick up. I mean, you just look at Nick and what he did last year. You know, he started off super slow but finished really strong. And I don't think they're a lock to make the playoffs. I have a lot of promise. I'm a season ticket holder, so I'll be down there quite a bit. And, I just don't think that you can make it that easy of a case one way or another. You know, there's going to be you're going to deal with injuries. Look at last year, a lot of injuries. You know, when JT went down, the team went down. He's a big part of this club. I like the fact that they have Marchand as a backup, much better than Stubbs. If JT goes down, so. You know, that's where I'm at on the Phillies and the pledge.
Bob, I understand it's a long season. And when I say the pledge, I don't mean like, hey, if they struggle in the first 2 weeks, the season's over. I just, Bob, I've heard a lot, and not from you, but just a lot of the last few weeks here, of people saying like, wake me up in October. And my thing is, if they think like that, they might not make October. Like, I need them to play well from the start to the finish. And I understand that there'll be ebbs and flows. Sure. That's baseball.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think that they have that mindset of, of not being all in the whole season. I don't believe at all in that makeup of the team. That's just how I feel about that.
Bob, what do you got for us for a guess for Hugh's clues? What is he talking about?
I have a gut feeling he's talking about peanut butter.
Peanut butter, which of course was peanut butter week here on WIP.
Peanut butter month.
Bob, appreciate it. It was not peanut butter. That's a good one though, because last week, of course, was peanut butter week 2.0, as we found out on the station, because we had a peanut butter week in September, and then peanut butter week came back with John on the overnight show. But no, not peanut butter there. All right, so Hugh, he mentioned JT's injury last year. You know what? When I was thinking about the team this morning and the Phillies and like how good they're going to be this season. Hugh, I have like three or four or five players that I feel really strongly I can guess their season. Okay, I Zach Wheeler, and all this is health permitting. Zach Wheeler should be a Cy Young finalist, great pitcher. Bryce Harper should be an MVP kind of player, no question. I think Kyle Schwarber is going to hit a ton of home runs, no question, and be the slugger we're used to. I think Christopher Sanchez is going to level up and be really, really good. And I think Aaron Nola, you could kind of guess what he is. He's not an ace, but he's a good pitcher.
Yeah, solid.
Hugh, the rest of the team, there's a lot of – it could go either way, right? And if all goes the right way, if Stott bounces back, if Bohm is the guy he was in the first half last year, if Turner is the guy he was in the first half, they could be great. But there's also with all those guys, it's like I'm not sure what they're getting out of them.
That's what they're banking on. And I think that – I tend to believe that there were some conversations being had with the guys and the way that the season went, and it wasn't what they wanted. And I think that they're looking at it like, hey, man, we got to do what we got to do. And if that means changing certain things or doing things a different way, then we have to do that. I think because you look at it, and they set out, they accomplished their goals. They just, the bats went cold, man. That was the two seasons that I've been here. That's what I remember vividly. Is that guys just didn't hit when they had to hit.
So they didn't, but didn't we kind of see the signs of it? And then
we
did,
and we ignored it, right. Especially last year. We definitely ignored it last year, no question about it, because we thought, Because they won 90 something, they 95 games. They won 95 games. So we kind of looked at it like, hey, you know, when the postseason roll around, they'll be fine. But it what they weren't.
So perhaps we didn't keep them accountable enough down the stretch of the season. I mean, that could be part of and maybe they didn't keep themselves accountable.
Well,
enough.
That's what I was about to say, because I do remember them saying, or remember something similar to saying, we'll be okay. Because they were asked about that a few times in the media, and they were like, we'll be okay. We'll be okay.
It was the flip the switch stuff, just got to play our best baseball at the right time.
Yeah, it was all of that. And now you see, and I think a lot of times, Kyle, to be honest, after you say that, flipping the switch, and you didn't flip the switch, what can you say going into the next season? No, that anybody's going to believe coming out of your mouth, hey, we're going to get it done this year. Nobody believed that. So your best bet is to show them instead of telling them about it.
Well, and I think this also goes for the front office, because I feel like the last couple trade deadlines, they've done very little and just expected the guys they already had to carry them. I mean, at some point, you might have to say, hey, maybe we don't have enough guys.
I tell you,
you got to get another good player.
And to be totally honest, when it's like that, even though it's baseball, and I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do outside of firing the manager, but when you go into a season, after the season that you just had, and you haven't made a whole lot of moves, and there was a whole lot of conversation being had about guys not being here, and you run the same thing back, Topper should be uncomfortable. I mean, I'm not saying it's his fault, but like we said, Joe, it's a lot of money on this roster. What is that, the fourth highest payroll in baseball?
I think it's top three. It's Dodgers, Mets, and the Phillies, I believe. Yeah, Yankees are in the mix too, but it's top three or four.
Somebody's heads are going to roll.
Yeah.
If they don't make – that's why I'm bullish on the playoffs, because if they don't make it to the playoffs, can't run it back the way that it back before. No. Can't run it. And that even means some players might get moved too.
Well, look, I mean, Real Muto and Schwarber are both free agents to be. Now, maybe they'll do something with their contracts. We had JT on last week, and he mentioned he'd be up for anything, you know, like even talking during the season. But I don't know. I mean, those guys are free agents to be. All right, before we go back to the phone lines here, The Athletic polled all their writers on different awards and how far teams will go. Mm-hmm. Let's go through what they thought and where some of these Phillies came in. I found this interesting. Zero Phillies got votes to be the National League MVP. That obviously includes Bryce Harper. So Ohtani, Betts, Soto, Kyle Tucker, Ellie De La Cruz, Corbin Carroll, Mookie. Francisco Lindor. Yeah, Mookie. MVP.
Yeah, because he got hurt. He got hurt kind of early.
Well, he's sick. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Mookie, because you know the Dodgers and Cubs went to Japan last week?
He got food poison?
Something. He is down to 157 pounds. And he's not a big guy to begin with, but I think he was like 175. He's lost like 20 pounds. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with that. But no Bryce Harper listed among MVP. NL Cy Young, Zach Wheeler did get the most votes at 14. Crazy. So you have Zach Wheeler as the guy getting Cy Young votes for the Phillies.
It's weird to me that Bryce didn't get any.
I agree.
Like, he feels like the kind of guy that any year he could win the MVP.
I agree with
like
that.
Like, he's that good of a player. Yeah. It feels a little bit. It feels almost like they forgot about him.
It feels like he's left out.
Yeah.
I agree with Wheeler.
All near that pandering.
Didn't work with the voters here. I agree with the idea of Wheeler near the top of the Cy Young there. I didn't see any votes for Andrew Painter for Rookie of the Year. I think part of that's because they don't know when he's going to come up. If he was coming up soon, I think he'd be in that mix. All right. National League pennant winner. The vote totals, 16 Dodgers, 5 Braves, 5 Mets, 4 Phillies, 2 Diamondbacks, 1 Padres. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That shows you how difficult the league is, right? 6 different teams got votes to win the pennant, 5 of them behind the Dodgers. So Dodgers got the most, 16. And in terms of World Series, three voters picked the Phillies to win the World Series. So they're still getting picked, but the Dodgers clearly the favorite in a lot of things. Your MVP and NL and World Series and all that stuff. Let's go to Sean, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's going on there, Joe and Hugh?
Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hanging in there. Yeah, I think the Phillies could be a force, but it depends on a couple of core players of Schwarber, Rojas, Turner. They have to have career years. Only way they can win it.
Well, I mean, they need Turner. I'm not counting on the Rojas thing as much.
But they need to have career years, though. He has to hit at least 230. 240. Same thing with Schwarber.
We'll be a career year, I guess.
Right, that's your guy, Hume. Johan Rojas. That's Hume's guy.
Wait a minute. Rojas. He was close to that last year. He was around that last year.
Yeah, but it was a soft 230. We talked about this. Soft.
Yeah, it was a feeble 230.
And Schwarber has to at least get like at least 240. At 240, if he can hit at least those numbers. I mean, they could be dominant, but it has to be those core players.
Well, Schwarber did do that last year. I think he hit around 240-ish, 250. So, I mean, if
but towards the end of the season, though, you know, I mean, he was kind of like a soft, like you said, soft 240 maybe.
Well, yeah, look, Schwarber's one of the things I don't – like, I kind of can guess his season. But Turner, Sean, for sure, he's one that I have no idea. I mean, I'd love for him to be great again. I just, you know, we haven't seen that for an extended time here in Philadelphia. Sean, what do you got for us? Huge clues. What's your guess?
Well, since I'm down living in Ohio right now, I would say a pierogi.
A pierogi?
Pierogi.
Pierogies are great.
What part of Ohio are you in, Sean?
I'm down near north of Columbus, down around Delaware.
Okay, Columbus. I know what I said. Yeah. No, I haven't had a pierogi.
Yeah, no. Ever or just since you, in a long time?
Not, I can't think of. Whoa. I haven't had a pierogi.
Hugh, no. We got to get you some pierogies.
You're missing out, man.
And there's a lot of great pierogies around here.
I probably had what didn't know was a pierogi, though. Pierogi?
A pierogi. Yeah.
You
pierogi.
Ate something that you weren't sure what it was? That well, doesn't sound like you at
maybe
all.
Maybe he thought it was a ravioli.
Sandwich. Like a sandwich.
No. A pierogi's like a...
No, I got to look that up because I don't think I've had one.
I think you'd like pierogies. I
thought it was a sandwich.
No, it's not. It's definitely not a sandwich. It's more in the ravioli family, except it's not cheese and with sauce. It's
it's a Polish thing, man. Yeah. It's just like a pastry sort of thing with potato in it.
Pierogi? That's it? I don't know. I've had one of those.
No, you're missing out.
You're good, man.
Especially you get
like a bunch of them.
Well, you have
almost like
a bowl.
It's almost like a
eat them with like sour
dim
cream,
sum, like dim sum, right? Not dim sum,
like dumpling ish.
Dumpling,
not as big each one.
Yeah, they're basically like a Polish dumpling. Yeah. You could call it. Sure.
Yeah, because that's what they look like.
Yeah, they're good.
Oh yeah, I mean, Hugh,
what's in them?
I think you're potato. And then the other stuff, like sometimes
maybe like onion.
Could be cheese.
This looks like something I've had. I probably had one of these before. Okay. I think I have.
That's good.
He was workshopping if he did or did not have a pierogi. Let's go to Rob and Delco. What's up, Rob?
Yo, what's up, Joe? What's up, you?
Hey,
what's going
Rob.
On, man?
Listen, man. Good afternoon, guys. Listen, I got a little, absolutely, to answer your first question, they're definitely not a lock to make the postseason. Listen, Atlanta's not a lock. As much as they sign Juan Soto, Joe, can you name me another guy in their lineup that scares you?
Well, Lindor. I mean, Lindor did crush the home run off of Estevez last year.
He did. But, I mean, he's getting older, too. He's getting a little old in the tooth. And, I mean, he misses some games, too, Lindor. But, I mean, okay, every line's got one or two guys. That's it. I mean, does any of their pitchers scare you?
No. Manaya, they re-signed him. He was very good last year. But, they have more of like a collection of threes and fours than they do aces, for sure.
Yeah, my point is they got a lot of holes. And Atlanta's got a lot of holes because you got – arguably the top two or three best player in baseball, Acuña, who should blow out both of his ACLs.
Yeah.
And, Riley got hurt. Albies got hurt last year, too. They lost Strider, of course. You never know how you're going to react.
You said it earlier, Hugh. We don't know if Acuña's going
to
be the same after the second knee. And, Rob, as much as I am happy when the Braves are down, it would be a shame if his body doesn't respond because he's a great baseball player. It'd be a shame if his career changes, but it might. I mean, Eric Davis was like that. Eric Davis was a great player, and then he had injuries, and then, it kind of went out.
Cancer. Yeah, he had cancer and all that. But, I mean, I grew up with Eric Davis. So, I mean, my point is, none of these teams, as good as the Mets and the Braves and the Phillies are, some of these teams might not even make the playoffs, but I got a prediction for you, okay?
Let's hear it.
The Phillies are going to make the playoffs, okay? But Rob Thompson will be gone by midseason. Woo! Somebody else will be taking this team into the playoffs, okay?
Well, if they struggle in the first half, it would not surprise me at all. I mean,
they struggled three quarters of the year, wouldn't you say, last year after that hot start? Or was it half of the year? I mean, there were 500 teams, so I feel they're going to get after treading water off to a slow start, and Rob Thompson will not take this team into the postseason.
Right. So, here's what I know, Rob. You will take the pledge. There's no doubt. You're an accountability guy.
Listen, I'm a Catholic schoolboy. I can tell you the Pledge of Allegiance right now. I'm big on pledges. Joe, post it on the internet. So I can write it down and memorize it.
Okay.
Joe.
Well, you know what we'll do? We will put it on our show Twitter page. We'll put it on
Twitter page.
We'll put it out there. You know, we'll make sure everyone can see the pledge. So, yeah, I mean, that's good. Everyone can print it out and have it yourself. The pledge to keep the Phillies accountable. Rob, great phone call. See, I believe Rob. I believe Kyle. They're taking the pledge. Hugh, I'll believe this when I see it.
I did take the pledge. I just wanted you to do it better.
No, I don't.
I appreciate it.
I'm. You know, you kept me accountable, and I did it with a little more gusto the second time.
More feeling, man. You know, you go more.
I didn't feel that from you, though.
Yeah, I know. You
said Joe had to say it with more feel, and then you were like,
"But he was really playing." I was like, "Yeah, I take it." I said, y'all take it.
So you know,
I
what?
Know you guys, you're gonna hold my feet to the fire.
Of course we will. Yeah.
We're gonna hold you accountable, keeping the Phillies accountable.
Yeah, we're not gonna let you move the line here.
If they get off to a slow start, you know what my go to.
It's early. It's early.
I'm just saying. It's a lot of 162 game, man. That's a lot of baseball.
It's amazing. The audience can guess what the show is next Wednesday if they're 2-4.
No,
it's early. Meanwhile, I'm screaming.
No, if they're 2-4, I'm gonna probably be with the masses. They're not gonna be 2-4.
No, I would. I would hope not. They get to play two of the worst teams.
Can.
They get to play two tomato cans in the NL to start the season.
For real, tomato cans.
Yeah, especially that Colorado team. Will in Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will, what's up?
You know, you say you want us to hold them accountable, and just to, like to call a couple callers.
We'll hold
ago.
You accountable real quick,
right.
Will. You got to
go
off the speakerphone, buddy.
Okay, all right.
Kyle's got to keep the call.
Okay,
all right, let's talk turkey now. Now, you said you hold the Phillies accountable, right?
Yes.
Now, when you just brought up the Bryce Harper situation, like I said yesterday, Bryce Harper shouldn't be saying anything, okay? Because, like I said, when it really counts, like I say, he's a great player. I'm not taking anything away from him. The Bryce Harper that I want to see is when he gave them guys that stare down after he knocked that homer right down their throat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I want back. I don't want to hear no complaining. I don't want to hear no blaming. I want this guy to take accountability and each and every team member to take accountability for the things that they need to do in order to go to the World Series this year. Like, it's no more excuses from the manager down to the players. It's no excuses, man. I don't want to hear it. And I keep saying this so they can hopefully hear it. Because now it's all about, listen, it's all about burying down and starting to, listen, we got to play a little small ball. We got to change our game up. You know what I'm saying? Let's change the game. Because you got to do something in order for y'all to start to, you know, get a nice little run going. So, listen, like you said, Hugh, sometimes you got to get uncomfortable to get comfortable again. And right now, y'all need to get uncomfortable. Right now, y'all need to put your egos aside and actually come together as a team, just like the Eagles did. On the offseason, they figured out what they needed. They knew they needed it was a missing piece to the puzzle. They added it, and guess what? We went to the Super Bowl and we champions. And the same thing with y'all guys. Y'all got the team to do it.
Yeah, you know, well there
don't
is a
think y'all know it.
There is
I
a parallel. There is a parallel between the Eagles 2 years ago and the Phillies now. Like, coming off a tough end of the season, a bad first round exit, questions about the coach or the manager. And then
right.
The Eagles went out there and won the Super Bowl. I mean, it is certainly possible for the Phillies to channel all this and go win the whole thing. They're talented enough.
I think they will, man. I think once they really actually start to believe and know that they're winners and know that they're the team to beat again, I guarantee they're going back. And they're going to win it this year. But they just got to, come on, man, mentally, get back into the game. Get back into yourselves. Get back into the winning spirit.
Now
we're talking. Right now, so you're taking the pledge, speech. Will? You're in, right?
I'm in, baby, all day.
Yeah, Will keeps those Phillies accountable. Will, what's your guess for Hugh's Clues? What is he talking about today?
Oh, man. I got a couple of them, but I'm going to say, since you said you could add a few things, and you look like a meatball and spaghetti type guy.
Meatball and spaghetti. That's a good guess. Not
it, though. Will, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, everyone likes, I think most people like meatball
spaghetti.
I mean,
spaghetti. Who doesn't eat meatball and spaghetti, though?
Yeah, but this, the first clue was something Hugh ate more in his youth. It's one of those things you kind of, it phased out a little bit. Meatball and spaghetti you could do the whole time. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the Phillies calls after the break. Are they a lock to make the playoffs? And will you take the pledge? We have the Phillies accountability pledge. None of this, hey, wake me up in October stuff. No, we keep the Phillies accountable day by day, series by series here on the Midday Show. They need to be, and I think it will actually help them out. 215-592-9494. Another clue after the break, because everyone needs it. Plus, something interesting out there about Alec Bohm, and maybe part of the reason why he was benched in the postseason. We'll see how he bounces back this year. We'll hit that next. Your calls. Sports Radio 94 WIPA. Great Lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up but a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe, Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9490. We're back to all your phone calls here on the Phillies. Are they a lock to make the playoffs? I say no. Hugh says yes. Where do you come down on this? Your guess is for Hugh's clues. We've got to give everyone a third clue here in a minute. And, of course, are you willing to take the accountability pledge to the Phillies? Enough of this wake me up in October stuff. Now, we got 162 starting on Thursday, and I believe in a tough NL. We got to keep the Phillies accountable all season so they actually make the playoffs, because I'm not sure this is a lock this season. There's a lot of good teams this league. But, Hugh, yet this morning I saw a story on Alec Bohm over at The Athletic, and I think you've touched this a few times the last few days, like kind of the awkwardness that he's back because...
Yeah,
because
he was gone. Like, people were talking about he was gone.
Well, and he knew he was gone, or at least he knew that was the conversation out there, to the point where he apparently disappeared. He has a place down in Houston, and he lived in the offseason, and he deleted all social media from his phone, so much so that he was so unplugged when he got to spring training, he didn't even realize players like that were on one team went to another. Like, he just totally went dark because he didn't want to see what was going on. I think he didn't want to hear about the rumors he was involved in. But I thought this was interesting, Hugh, because we remember last year Topper benched him in the playoffs. Game two, he didn't play him. And that was a pretty seismic thing because he's been a starter on this team for years. So in the story today over at The Athletic, Matt Gelb wrote about Alec Bohm, this part caught my attention because, you know, we didn't really know why he benched Bohm other than he didn't want him to play that day, right? Here is it from the story. There were moments late, this is quote from the story, quote, there were moments late last season in Kansas City and Washington when Bohm's outward frustration about a personal failure angered coaches and teammates. According to multiple team sources, this influenced manager Rob Thompson's rare decision to bench Bohm at a critical moment. So the because he's pretty emotional, like he'll get upset, he'll slam his helmet, he'll be really emotional in the dugout. Apparently that rubbed some coaches and his teammates the wrong way, and that kind of led to eventually they sat him down. What do you make of that?
That's interesting because we've been told that they're a really tight-knit group, you know, and for them not to be able to be like, yo, bro, what you doing? You know what I mean? I just think it's interesting. That is interesting that –
You think they're kind of tired of it? Like enough we got to grow up now? Like enough? Well, because he's very emotional.
That, but the one thing, the vibesmen, the accountability crew, the daycare, the way that it was sold to me and the way that I thought it was, like, you can come to your player, you can come to your teammate before it gets to management. I just think that's kind of interesting. That's one of those things where it's like, really? That sounds like somebody said, hey, man, he's crashing out. You know, somebody has to do something about it. That's a weird thing. Zach might have broke a big story. That's kind of weird coming from this locker room and how close they've made it seem like everybody is.
So, guys, I have no idea what to expect at Alec Bohm this year. I don't know how. Like, you could sell me on anything, Hugh. You could tell me he's going to come back refocused, right? He didn't go anywhere. They didn't trade him. And he has a great season because he was having his best year last year before the second half, right? He started the All-Star game. Then he had a hand injury, which was kind of mysterious, and we weren't sure what was wrong. He missed a few weeks, and then he stunk down the stretch. They benched him in the playoffs. Remember that weird quote after the playoff series where he said, I know where I'll be? And now he is here. So, Hugh, I could see him playing well. But I also, I don't know, isn't it awkward? He knows they wanted to move him. They didn't. He's back. Do you expect him to play well this year?
Yes.
I hope you're right. I have no idea.
Because the reality is, you unplugged because you felt, even though you were defiant in the press conference when somebody asked you, you know, do you think you're going to get traded? And he was like, no, or something to that effect.
I know where I'll be.
Yeah. You were real defiant, but you unplugged because you were just ready for what you felt was inevitable.
Yep.
So yeah, you have to go back. And you have to play better because now your teammates are looking at you and everybody's looking at you like, hey, man, you gotta go and get off the pot. So, yeah, I do expect him to play better. I really do.
Kai, what do you expect out of Bohm? I mean, he's important still. He's going to hit one. He's going to hit three or four, and he's got to protect someone in the lineup. At his best, he's a good hitter.
Yeah.
I don't know if this stuff's going to be in his head during the season.
Yeah, I don't know if I expect him to play better necessarily. I expect probably more of the same, like the 280 type hitter that he is. I think if we get lucky, we see him jump that up a little bit, like 295 or even like 300, because that's what he is at his peak, I think, when we saw him for those few months last season. That's like the best kind of hitter he can be. I think I would like to see maybe a few more home runs. So if we get like 300, 20, 25 home runs out of Alec Boehm, I think that'll be a great season for him.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, it's never for him been physical. Like, he can do it. He can hit. He can hit for some power when he turns on the ball. To me, it's always mental with him. He always seems to get in his own head. Hopefully he responds well, because they did not trade him. He's back, and he's the third baseman, and he's a big part of this. Let's go to the phone lines here. But first, Hugh, help the people out. A third clue for Hugh's Clues, because we have a $100 gift card to Sunoco to give away. And, of course, this hour on 90 for WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. All right, Hugh, what do you got?
It was on this station in a featured segment.
Guilty! Okay.
Yeah, Kyle helping y'all out now.
All right, so let's...
Yeah, boy, that's a big old hint right there. It's a big old hint.
It's always even better than I thought when we play the audio back in the night.
You know the guilty is bananas.
I know. It gets me every single
guilty!
Time.
Guilty!
Charles Johnson, my man, though. He wild.
There's your third clue. It was already talked about on this station today. Let's go to the phone lines. Jamal in Philly's up. What's up, Jamal?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey, what's Jamal, up, what's up?
Not much. I believe they're a lock to get in, because I believe they're that talented. They're not a lock to win it all, though. They definitely going to have to, you know, play, you know, good box. Their approach at the plate got to be good, for one. And I think they do need to get that lineup situation right. I do think they need to put Trey Turner at the top of the lineup. That will give them a focus to get on base and let Harper hit third. I think the key is putting Trey Turner there, and everything else should really work out.
Well, Jamal, we're probably going to see that on Thursday, because it seems like they're going to do that against left-handed pitching, and they're going to see a lefty on Thursday. So hopefully they're right, because they're pushing a new button here to try to get Trey going. All right, Jamal, what's your guess for Hugh's Clues? What do you got?
Ramen noodles.
You nailed 100%, it. Man. Did you know before that last clue, or did that give it away?
Yes, I did. The key was the struggle meal. I struggled growing up. If anything, you could put other foods in it.
Yep.
I bet he put hot dogs in it, hot sauce.
Jamal, can I just say something? Because I'm here with my co-host and Kyle this morning. And when I said put hot dogs in it, they looked at me like I had two
I never
heads.
Did that, Jamal. I never did it.
That's another struggle meal, hot dogs. So you combine them too. You know what I mean?
That's the ultimate struggle meal.
Yeah, now, Jamal, good job, man. You got it. You are the winner today, and you get yourself a $100 gift card for Sunoco. Get the highest level of performance out of your car with 94 Octane, now available exclusively at Sunoco gas stations in Philadelphia. Let's make it $100, that gift card. All right, so it was ramen noodles, which John Johnson had them this morning.
The spice, very, very nice. Mm.
You know what it is in the snack of the night that really gets me every time? It's the lip smacking.
Yeah.
But
he's trying to bring the visual to the medium. You know, because a lot of people...
Like you're next to him. Yeah.
He's trying to do that.
You're snacking with John Johnson.
Yeah, but the ramen noodles, man, that was a staple in the dorm on every night. They were like, hey, man, you got a pack of noodles? Because you get like a whole box for like $5.
So we looked this morning. They're actually, I think, up to $1 a pack
that
now.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's too much. The whole allure is that they were like 50 cents,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were. I mean, man, and you could just gussy them up. You could put... Hot, like you said, hot dogs in them and throw a little hot sauce. Everybody had like the little hot pot, the little boil of water.
Yep.
Boil them in there. Yeah. Ramen noodles was going off on the college campus. That's more like mukbang right there, though, what he's doing.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's the chewing right into the microphone. And I get it. It's a food tasting segment, right?
Yeah.
It's the snack of the night. But that... Yeah, it strikes me every time. You really feel like you're right next to him. John, thank you for the inspiration here for today's Daily Douglas, the Hughes Clues. Let's go to Brian in Norristown, up talking to Phillies. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Good, Brian. What's up?
So I do think we're a lock, and I have a few reasons why. I think the first one is the fact that they're not going to be under a ton of pressure at Stadium. I don't think that place is going to be filled up every game. I think that you know, this is an Eagles town. I think that's where the focus is, and I think people have been disappointed the past few years substantially, so they're not going to place all their eggs in that basket and be paying the money they were paying the past few years. Yes, it will fill up. It'll be nice, but I think that's reason number one. But number two is they're playing in the most competitive division. So if they do want to get there, they have to play competitively and at the top of their game every single game. They can't let any slack out there, and because they're going to be just be playing against some great rivals that we have, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, I hope that, Brian, that's an interesting angle on it. I hope that does push them, right? Because the Braves and Mets, I mean, I was looking at a power ranking the other day, and all three teams, Phillies, Braves, and Mets, were in the top five of baseball. So that you have to be ready, right? Because if you show up to those games and you're kind of sleepwalking, you're going to get beat.
Right, exactly. And you know, I think that just the pressure won't be on them as much as it has been the past few years. I think that they'll play slower, they'll play better, and they'll be more focused. But the middle of the lineup has to come through. I think, you know, we saw what happened in the playoffs. I don't think JT Realmuto actually hit a baseball the entire time. So, you know, there's a lot that can be improved on, and I have high hopes. And that's I'm hoping that we get there and make a run.
Well, they're talented enough, Brian. They got to play well all season. Brian, appreciate the phone call. A couple things Brian said there that are interesting. One, he thinks it actually helps them that there's not many people picking them and there's doubt. What do you think about that? Almost like, because last year, it wasn't just me. It felt like a lot of national people were picking the Phillies. This year, Hugh,
you mean like some doubt, like you rally the troops type
deal?
Yeah,
it's like you're flying under the radar a little bit. Like even the way they've spoken, right? Last year, they kept saying World Series, all spring training. This year, it's more reserved. I do feel that the Phillies are a little bit under the radar compared to the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's a motivator. I'm not going to lie. I remember thinking stuff like that, you know, when I was here and, you know, you picked a win and all this other stuff to fly a little bit under the radar. It's always a good thing because you're not, you know, people aren't focused on you as much. And maybe that kind of helps them out a little bit.
Second thing, well, that's part of why we're doing the accountability pledge. I mean, we're making sure everyone is keeping the Phillies accountable. But second thing he said is he doesn't think the park's going to be filled as much, which takes away some of the pressure at home.
I don't know about that.
We have had a couple callers that have mentioned to us they haven't bought as many tickets as normal. I still think the park's going to be filled up. I'd be surprised. And now April's always different in May because it's school time.
It's a little chilly, too.
And right, and it's chilly in school.
It's
but I'd
be
surprised, Kyle, if we get to the summer and
shocked
they're not filled up.
Well, even if they're not, I don't think that really has that much to do with it. Like, I think we're focusing on what the reaction will be at the ballpark. But, I mean, they listen to some of those guys listen to the station.
Mm-hmm.
They listen. They're in tune to what fans are thinking.
Well, I mean, Bryce Harper listens to the afternoon show and
right.
Drive to the park.
So, like, they know what's being said about them. I don't think any kind of pressure is going to be taken off them just because. I agree with you. I think the ballpark's going to be filled, but I think even if it wasn't, that wouldn't have much to do with how much pressure they're feeling.
Yeah, I feel like attendance in baseball usually lags a year behind. Like, they won 95 in the division last year, so they have people want to go to the games this year. Usually, it's like it takes a while to kind of manifest. So. And when you struggle, then it goes backwards. But I don't expect the crowd to not be part of it. People are going to be into this. If they get off to a good start, the whole goal for this team is to win a World Series. That's what they're built for, and that's what people are going to expect. Phil is in Delco. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Phil. Yeah. What's up?
Good. I two callers late. I had the answer about an hour ago when I first called, but I got to correct you here. I think when you start adding stuff to ramen noodles, it would be called a chi-chi, if I'm not mistaken.
What's it called?
Chi-chi.
Chi-chis, yeah. That's what guys around here call when they start adding the hot dogs. Some people will crush up like Doritos or Cheetos and put the dust in to make it cheesy.
See, I've never done that.
Cheetos dust sounds like a good time there.
But yeah, no, that definitely, that last cue wasn't even needed for some of us in the know. But on to the Phillies, I don't think we're a lock, and only because it's, you know, the reasons that have been outlined, very tough division. You still got your lineup kind of up in the air. The one thing I am excited about, though, is our starting pitching. I really look forward to seeing, you know, how that 4 and 5 spot round out. I think Sanchez did great last year, and you got, you know, see if we can get a bounce back from Boyce as well. So I'm looking forward to the pitching, but I want to see what this lineup looks like and if they're going to do the switching with the lefty versus righty. I'd like to see Trey lead off all the time, but, you know, we'll see how that transpires.
Phil, what'd you make of Dabrowski's comment that the lineup is insignificant?
Totally tone deaf. Totally. I think it was an asinine comment to make, knowing, like you had said previously, like that the team talks about it, Copper talks about it, all the fans talk about it. It's been a point of discussion for the last 2 years.
So it just seemed a little aloof for him to say that.
Yeah, that's a great, Phil, that's a great word, aloof. It feels like almost like you're disjointed from reality. Phil, good phone call there. It's an odd thing for a president of a team who has spent the entire month deciding on their leadoff hitter to say it's insignificant. It really is crazy to say.
It's almost like it's Daryl Morey-ish.
It is Daryl Morey-ish. You don't want to be Daryl Morey-ish.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me, being in this city and knowing how intertwined all of these sports teams are, that nobody listens to what everybody else is saying and say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't go in the press conference and say that.
You know what? It's a good advice
because
we have
sports PTSD, and when you say it's not a big deal, and people that have been watching baseball for a long time, and you have guys that saying, you know, I would rather hit here or there, and for you to say that, it's Daryl Morey-ish.
Well, I mean, in the beginning of spring training, Bryce Harper said, "I'm a three hitter," so it obviously matters.
Made it clear.
To him. It matters to your highest paid player and your best player. Let's also hear this from Nebraska. Speaking of Daryl, this might be a new phrase we use, Daryl Morey-ish, like saying things that are obviously going to get you in hot water. Here's Dombrowski.
Saying stupid stuff.
Stupid stuff. A couple weeks ago on the morning show, talking about what happened in that Mets series, and I think this is the cut where Joe interjected, and I'm glad he did because it just came off as ridiculous.
I think this is from the end of the season.
Got it. Okay, because he was on the morning show recently, and Joe kind of was like, you were chased. But this was the end of the season press conference, Dombrowski, on what happened versus the Mets.
Offensively, were there times where you felt like the group, the lineup as a whole, was too easy to pitch to? Or, I mean, how did you sort of assess sort of the ups and downs that you guys had offensively?
Well, the unfortunate part, you have a tendency to focus only on your own club, right? This is a downtime from an offensive perspective in professional baseball. What was the average? 243 at the end of the year. Most of our hitters were better than 243. You see the scores in the games in most of the postseason. There's not a lot of run production taking place. So at times we are vulnerable to being pitched well, as are other clubs. But I can't say that, like going into the last 2 months of the season, that we thought, oh, that was going to be a major issue for us. But it's something we'll look at. We'll take a look at trying to address to see if we can make some changes. Sometimes, you know, we talk about, it's interesting, and I know a theme is chase rate, right? I mean, everybody I read in here writes about chase rate. I think
this
it was interesting
joke, quite
we
frankly.
Got eliminated. We were sixth in major of the 12 clubs in chase rate in the postseason. And so that's not good, but it's not the worst. We didn't hit.
I mean, come on.
That's not good, but it's not the worst. I mean, what is that?
You know, unfortunately, he knows a lot of baseball. He does.
He's been around forever.
Been around, and you know he's won different places. But you have to understand your fan base and know what not to say at certain times. You know, out of respect for the people that pay hard-earned money at the games and they see certain things. I mean, yeah, you know more than they do. But the dismissive attitude about the way that people feel about what they see, it's Daryl Morey's. I mean, I can't say it any other way but that. You know, for you to get there and say certain things about, like, hey, if you squint your eyes and stuff like that, it's that's not what nobody wants to hear that at this time. Nobody wants to hear that. They want you to be like them. I think this fan base in particular, they gravitate towards the people that think the way that they think and get it. You know, you might be the GM or whatever, but the reason why Howie is beloved, and then we talk about Howie season and Howie can do no wrong. Howie got hit in the face with a beer can and sat there and talked about how much he bled for this city and all this other stuff. Howie sits at the game and people are razzing him, and he said, y'all need to shut the bleep up because I just got you a Super Bowl and stuff like that. People, that's relatable. When you sit there on your perch and you talk, you know, in circles and talk about, you know, analytics and all the other stuff, nobody wants to hear that, no. And not in this moment.
Well, I think one thing you cannot tell a fan base who thinks that the goal is to win the World Series and be the best team in baseball, you don't turn around and say, well, we're not the worst. Like, that would be like, hey, we weren't the White Sox last year. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a crap.
It was an Andy McPhail kind of quote.
People want you to be they want you to be just as invested as they are. And see, that's the thing. When we talk about this team, and the reason why people are lukewarm when it comes to the Phillies is because the Phillies haven't said a whole lot. And I get that. I mean, I get that part of it, but that's what it is, Joe. Because last year when they were bullish and talking about winning games, that's when you had people holding them accountable, having their feet to the fire, because they said it. Now, going into the season, they ain't said a whole lot. People are gravitating towards or they're taking the lead of the Phillies right now.
Well, and also, do they recognize the problem? Like, when you have the guy in charge of the team says, well, we're kind of middle of the pack. That wasn't that bad. Well, you lost. I mean, the last game of the playoffs last year, I don't think Quintana threw a pitch in the strike zone for an hour and a half. Like, don't give me the statistics. I watched it. We all watched the Mets pitcher not throw balls over the plate.
Senga basically dared us to take walks off him in game one.
I mean, it was
we didn't take him up on it.
It's been so obvious three straight years how teams eliminate the Phillies, and Nebraska says they're like, well, it's not as bad as you think.
By the way, a little behind the scenes here.
Yeah.
Something that happened before we played the Dave Dombrowski Cup,
okay,
you guys both got in my ear at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Joe said, hey, can you find this Dave Dombrowski Cup for me? Hugh goes, you know, chi-chi is the Spanish slang for boobies.
No, chi-chi, I looked it up. And chi-chi's was a restaurant before.
I love chi-chi's. Yeah,
it used to be a restaurant. Is it still around?
Chips and salsa there were awesome.
Is it really still around? Because they used to have unlimited chips and salsa, right?
They seem better days, chi-chi's. I don't know if they're still around.
It's two different hosts telling me two different things.
No, because he said...
But does it not fit the show perfectly there? Hey, I need to hear this with Nebraska. You know what chi-chi's means in Spanish?
It was a perfect Spanish.
No, when he said it, I was like, chi-chi's.
Chi-chi's means that in Spanish? And that was the name of the restaurant?
It's Spanish slang for breasts.
It's Spanish slang for breasts.
But that, I know, I get it. But
it's the name of the restaurant.
But that was the name of the restaurant?
You know how my mind works. And when I heard that, I was like, but the restaurant was named Chi-Chi.
So we used to all go to that restaurant?
We used to go to Boobies.
And I don't know if the restaurant's even around anymore. All right, 215-592.
Let's see if I can find a Chi-Chi's on the Googly.
You know what? If you find one, we should go. Show trip to Chi-Chi's. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, your phone call's coming up on the Phils. Do you believe this team is a lock to make the playoffs? I don't. Look, it's a good team. Right now in my head, I've got 90 wins, but... there was a team last year in the NL that won 89 and missed the postseason. That team, Arizona, added one of the best pitchers in baseball. I think the NL is excellent. The Phillies are a good team, but the team that finishes third in the NL East between the Mets, Phillies, and Braves could miss the postseason. I don't think it's a lock. And are you willing to take the accountability pledge? None of this wait for October nonsense. We keep the Phillies accountable. We talk through everything, the ups and downs through the season. It's not just wake me in October. I don't think that works for this Phillies team. 215-592-9494. Plus, on the other side, the Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. The draft is now a month away. Who is being mocked to the Eagles today? We'll dive into that next. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Brackets busted. Well, new customers of FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino can get $200 of bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 extra to bet on everything from clutch shots to last-second heartbreaks and even... who's cutting down the nets? If you went and joined, there's no better time. There's tourney action almost every day. And FanDuel is amazing. Bet types like spreads, totals, game props, so much more. I love Maryland on Thursday. I think they're going to win this game outright over Florida. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIL. Get in on the college hoops action all tourney long. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.